Well, you guys obviously know who we selected, but it was just, you know, we came into the off season with a plan and free agency to try to solidify as many needs as we could, and we felt like we did that so we could be at 29 and pick the guy we had rated the highest. And at the end of the day, the young man out of Gainesville via Casper, Wyoming, that was the highest guy on our board, and that's who we took. There was some discussion, about different positions, but he was the guy that we had highest rated. We had a group of four individuals there, and he was the last of four. And then we had a little bit of a tier below where there's a couple other guys.
All four of those guys get picked?
They did.
This situation, too, where maybe eyes to beyond 2018, 2019, in terms of what you deal with on the
Sure, I think anytime your first round pick, you would like that's a pick that you'd like to be around for a long period of time. So. It's not just this year, but we hope that he can help us. He's very versatile, so he could play multiple positions for us. And you've seen how Philadelphia played defense in the Super Bowl and throughout the year and how we did last year. And we want to keep a rotation going. We want to keep our guys fresh. And this is a guy that can play, you know, the big end for us. He can play inside and as a three technique. And he's an explosive guy, and he can make a difference.
You also got some big money coming up with some of those defensive linemen.
Yeah, but that's not we can handle that. It's it was more of this is a guy that in that wave is going to make a difference for us, we hope.
How much did the local day visit play into you guys?
Well, we didn't interview him at the combine, so those guys from Florida State, we try not to interview those guys in double dip, so we try to bring him in and meet with them face to face. And he did a nice job. He sat down and he's very honest, very you guys will probably enjoy talking to him. But we spent a lot of time with him and throughout the day, and we knew he was a good kid. We knew he was a tough, hard-nosed, good worker and all that stuff. So we feel like that he's kind of a player that's on the come, too. From the Texas A&M game on, kind of started to really come into his own and really started to play at a high level.
You feel Campbell played too many snaps last year?
No.
No,
I think whenever at that position, the more depth you can have, the better off you're going to be. We got Dwayne Smoot coming back, too, who plays in that rotation. And obviously, our two rush ends and Yannick and Dante, but this is a guy that we hope will get some snaps.
Brian doesn't have those dominant numbers, you know, big sack numbers. Is that a guy, a lot of double teams as he faces?
Well, it's a lot of double teams. It's he's a three technique. He's a defensive tackle, so generally those guys don't have those numbers. But he's a disruptive force, and if he's not making the play, he's spilling it to another player.
From a technique standpoint, where do you think he can most improve and kind of?
Yeah, I think obviously pad level and being able to keep his pad level low. He's a very good athlete. And, you know, from an athletic standpoint, he's in the upper percentile of top athletes in the league. But he's got good size. He's 6'5", 295 pounds plus, right around there. And we feel like that just technique-wise. And he's young, you know, so he's a three-year player at Florida. So he still has room to grow. He just turned 22 years of age.
His pro day, he said he didn't grow up watching football or anything like that. Do you get the sense that he loves football?
I do. We do. And the way he works at it, the way he trains. And, I mean, he grew up he's a blue-collar kid. He grew up working for his dad. He grew up, you know, laying concrete and doing a lot of things like that. So he may not have a lot of time to watch football and obviously a different interest. So.
How long
I believe so, yeah.
What surprised you about the first round overall?
There wasn't a ton of surprises. I think the players went that we felt like would go. There wasn't any outlandish picks, and it was interesting seeing all those trades for quarterbacks and, what, four in the top ten. And probably the biggest surprise was back-to-back centers. I don't know, for you statisticians, I don't know when the last time that happened in the first round, so it'd be very interesting. But
Dave, you mentioned value. How much does that go into the second, third round now tomorrow in terms of value compared to where you're picking?
Well, we'll look at our needs. We'll look at where we feel like we still have some, you know, places where we can improve along the offense and defense, and then see what's there. You know, the second round, we've got another 29 picks before we pick, so we'll see how we do.
What about Taven's personality resonated with you when you visited with him?
Well, he's very honest. He doesn't have much of a filter. He's going to tell you exactly how he feels and what he thinks. And but he's a good kid, and he's very, I don't want to say he's simple, but he likes ball, he likes to work, he likes to train, and there's no BS about him.
Is
their play in the league right now that he's pretty much similar to, or would you like to shy away from?
I'd like to shy away from those comparisons before we, you know, put him in the Hall of Fame and all that stuff. but yeah, I think let him come in and try to make his own niche, and maybe he'll draw comparisons to future players.
Would it be more difficult to assess a guy when you just have 1 year as a starter?
That was
to look at?
That's going to be trouble.
Showdown.
All right, 1, 2, 3, go. All right, what was that?
What are the challenges of grading a guy when he's just got 1 year as a starter like you had with
him? Well, you look at guys, you know, if they spend 5 years at a college and they have 1 year as a starter, you're like, okay, what's the reason behind that? And why are they 1 year starters? Try to shy away from those. Guys that are 3 year players and come out as juniors or true juniors, those are guys where you're more like, okay, you can understand why. You know, he's also had very good players that were very productive in front of him. You know, Bullard and the guy that Cleveland took last year. Caleb Brantley. So he's had good players there. Florida's had some abundance of those players.
What would be fair expectation for him in terms of playing time this year?
You know, we'll see when we get into it. Fair would be to be in some type of the rotation and wherever he can make a difference. And obviously, if we can dress 8 guys on game day, you know, and waive those guys and have them play equal amounts, that's the ideal, you know, scenario. But, you know, maybe 20, 30 plays a game.
When you mentioned the other day that this was maybe the most important draft that you guys had, and you talked about maintaining success, was that – people were trying to figure out what that meant. Was that you weren't going to get blinded by going for something that may be a bigger need and passing up a better player to do it?
Correct, yeah. And that's why we did what we did in free agency with Andrew Norwell, with Austin Seferian Jenkins on the offensive side of the ball. We filled some needs there. And then special teams, and then with the cornerback position, DJ Hayden. So we felt like we kind of had we could line up tomorrow and play and not have any glaring holes. We always want to upgrade. We always want to get better. But this allows us to take the best player available at 29, and hopefully what we call a blue-level player at 29 is a good thing, and hopefully he turns out to be that.